Hello everyone and welcome to Planet FM, meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6. My name's Siobhan and I'm an alcoholic and we'll be chairing our meeting this morning. Could you please help me open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer? God, serenity,
change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Thank you. I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. Thank you for joining us this morning. Today, our speakers are Vishal, Fiona and Suresh, and they will be sharing on their experience, strength and hope. Vishal, I'd like you to start by opening the meeting today, please.
Good morning. My name is Vishal. I'm an alcoholic. Well, this is a very nice opportunity to share across to the New Zealand crowd. First of all, it was many of the stories I've heard in AA were most of the people that got into alcohol had a serious family problem because most of their parents were drinking and their relatives were drinking. So they got into alcohol at the very early stage, you know, where like, you know, 11 years, 12 years, they used to drink like that. But I never got into alcohol in the early age because I came into a family that didn't have any influence of alcohol. And it was a pretty good, straightforward, you know, going to school and just doing the normal things, you know. And I moved to New Zealand in 2008 with my wife. And we both started working in Hamilton. And things were very good for 7 years together, and she would have like an odd drink here and there, you know, and I would have the odd drink, you know, on a Friday evening after work, you know, and that was not a problem at all. But suddenly, I don't know what happened to my ex, and she started drinking heavily. She was consuming, like, you know, at least a bottle of wine every day, and then it increased every day, like, you know, from one bottle to one and a half bottle to two bottles, and she started calling in sick, and then I don't know. We started having arguments. We started having fights all the time. There was no happiness left in us. You know, once she got to the point of getting so high that she would black out, and I wouldn't know what is the reason because I didn't know alcohol had this many symptoms because I was like a very light drinker. So I didn't even get high on alcohol. I would just drink a bottle of beer and that would just jolly good, make me jolly good. And I'm pretty happy for the weekend, you know, and I would rather go out walking, trekking, you know, into go to Hanua Falls or somewhere and then do trekking and spend the day there and go to a restaurant and have a good meal. And I would always cook food because she was not a good cook, but I wouldn't blame her because she never had to in her life. But I left early in my ages to London to study my master's, and out there I was on my own. So I learned everything on my own, you know, doing my own cooking and chores and everything. And I was pretty straight, you know. I didn't know. And like, you know, when it came to 2016, when we got separated, it was because of her doing domestic violence on me because she was getting drunk and then she's trying to throw pans at me. She was smashing up my phone, my laptop, my work laptop. And I was like pretty confused how to control her. I took her to a psychiatrist and then she got like some antipsychotics or something like that because she kept saying that she's got seizures and epilepsy, but I didn't believe her because I never saw her having a seizure. I never saw her going through any epilepsy episodes because we were always watching and going to the movies and flashy lights and nightclubs and all that, you know. And that separation that day when the fight went really wrong, the thing was she picked up a knife on me, and that was the point. I thought, no, this is not alcohol. This is someone else. This is far too much beyond my thought to understand how I can control her, you know. And then I just left the house and I went to a friend's house. And the first thing, my friend was an alcoholic. I didn't know what alcoholic was, but he knew he was an alcoholic. And then he invited me saying, you know, you're safe here. She won't come here, you know, because she can go to your other common friends, you know, and then she might harass you over there. So then he started opening a bottle of whiskey, and I didn't know, I didn't like the taste or anything, but I thought, but he kept saying, just drink it, mate, you'll be all right. Just drink it and, you know, you'll get sober after some time after getting drunk, you know, in the morning you'll be all right, you know, but it'll at least put you to ease in the night to just get some sleep. So I drank half a bottle of whiskey and I was pretty high and I blacked out. And that day I felt like, you know, oh, this is a good solution because I can forget what this all happened, and it is really helpful for me. But the thing is, I didn't understand the consequences what I'm getting into. And then when I came home, actually, I got arrested for picking up a knife on me. But then within a day, the cops let her go straight away. So she came home and she started, like, you know, threatening me. She said, like, you know, keep one eye open and before I can stab you. And, like, you know, it was quite hectic for me. I didn't understand what alcohol was doing. And I was picking up the same thing. And then she left to India. After that, I was going back to work and normal things. But on a Friday evening, I would buy that bottle of wine. And then I started drinking wine every day. And from weekends, it started to become the Monday thing. And going to work like a functional alcoholic. So I was like a functional alcoholic. And I was going to work just stumbling around, you know. But and then 3 years ago, the first time I got into an AA meeting in a medical detox, that was the first time when I saw people sharing their experiences with alcohol. And that is when I come to, first conclusion was it was a religious cult, I don't want to join them. But then it wasn't that thing, you know, it was about, then I joined a rehab. After I joined a rehab, there was, you had to do 3 meetings mandatory every week. So each meeting I went to, I started hearing the sharings and people with problems with alcohol. And they were so much similar to my problems and, you know, what I went through, you know. And I started understanding. I kept going to some meetings, 3 weeks of meetings a day. And the first time in 3 years, last 3 years, I understood that I'm an alcoholic. And I admitted it and I started going to the meetings. And I'm very grateful for the meetings because each time I went to a meeting, there was a new story. There was never a similar story or a same story repeated by the same person. And that inspired me to start sharing as well, because I would just go there, sit quiet and rather not share. I would just say, I'll just listen today. But then I started sharing and I felt good about it, because what I was going through and like, you know, it really explained to me, you know, that how grateful I am to the AA program, because now I've got a sponsor, I follow the 12 steps, I read the big book, and I do service. So all these things are helping me out to really keep sober. And I'm 58 days clean today, and it is really coming close to, you know. And I'm really happy that I found a very good home group in Glenfield, and I'm around with and the fellowship is working very well. So I can reach out to my sponsor, I can reach out to some of the tight fives, and I'm making good recovery friends. Okay, that's all from me for now. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Vishal. That was amazing. And Fiona, can I ask you to share next, please?
Thanks. I'm Fiona. I'm an alcoholic. Yeah, thanks for your share, Vishal. And it's good to be here today, sharing with you. If I think back to my first taste of alcohol, the taste is not quite as memorable as the effect. I was about 13 and it wasn't very much, but immediately it had a magical effect on me. It was as if I had suddenly some kind of peace and calm. I hadn't realized that there was a lot of noise or anxiety going on, but I did realize that once I tasted that alcohol, that everything sort of went quiet and it felt really calm. And it sowed a seed. Sowed a seed in me that I was in denial for quite a long time. So my drinking didn't take off immediately, but by the time I was sort of late teens, you know, not not quite legal, but I was having, you know, my regular social drinking. We'd go out, kind of, it was what all the other, my other peers were doing. You know, we'd be going to a club or something, and we'd have some preloading on the way, and that was, you know, that was how it was done. And one thing that I found is that I was actually quite good at drinking. So I didn't have the experience of throwing up, or didn't black out for quite a lot of years. So for me, it worked really well. You know, it was like, I call it a magical elixir that allowed me to be who I thought I wanted to be. More confident, funny, you know, just exactly who I thought I was meant to be. So for me, I think alcohol was a higher power for a few years. At that point, I'd lost my faith that I'd kind of grown up in, and I thought I was quite invincible with alcohol in me. It just needed to be me and alcohol, my best friend, and I was going to be good. And it was still, I would have said, manageable at that time. You know, the fact that I didn't have a regular job or any kind of regular responsibilities probably helped. I was more of a creative and, you know, kind of was able to. But also, alcohol hadn't become a problem yet. So up to my mid-20s, I thought it was just great. There was no issues, and I was happy. And then something changed, and don't quite know, but how I see it now is just all of that sort of anxiety and perhaps depression that alcohol was sort of keeping at bay, it stopped. So, around my mid-20s, I started getting horrendous hangovers and anxiety, and it was horrible. And I couldn't quite understand that this best friend had turned on me, and I was in denial for quite a while, and I did a lot of giving up, and then not quite knowing why I'd given up, and just, you know, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I don't think I lasted that long, but, you know, I'd be drinking again, and friends would be saying, oh, I thought you weren't drinking. And I was like, oh, yeah, oh, I don't know what that was about. Just, you know, it was kind of embarrassing. And I didn't like that about myself. It was like, how come I'm so, you know, full of remorse and guilt, and I'm not going to drink again, and then, you know, you're going to bump into me in 2 weeks' time, and I'd be like, oh, no, it's all good. It's all fine. And it really wasn't, and that sort of continued for quite a few years, and I became more and more anxious, and a growing self, my self-worth was getting lower. I didn't like myself. I was just really not being, I just didn't quite know who I was. I was definitely these two different personalities. And it was kind of suicidal in that, really. I wasn't really wanting to be alive, wasn't wanting to not, you know, wasn't going to do much about it, but I really wasn't wanting to be alive. And this went on for quite a while, and, like, good things were happening in my life. But underneath, there was still this disease, and finally I had joked about going to AA. So my worst drinking was in my, like, late 20s, and kind of got through that, you know, survived it. Life sort of got better, but as I said, there was still this big hole in the soul and couldn't quite understand it. But I feel like it was, you know, serendipity, grace of God. I found my way into the rooms of AA and wasn't quite sure that that was exactly where I needed to be, because I at that point I wasn't morning drinking or, you know, some of those really, you know, heavy stories around drinking I had touched on, and I had kind of, I wouldn't say bounced back from, I would say that I scraped the bottom and started like getting a bit better. So, yeah, so came into the ruins of AA and just loved everything that people shared, and wasn't convinced I was an alcoholic, but knew that the third tradition, which is if you have a desire to stop drinking, then, you know, this is the place to be. So that just kept me coming back, and I got a sponsor. I did what was suggested, get a sponsor, did the steps, went to lots of meetings, 90 meetings in the first, you know, 3 months, and yeah, just kept going, kept coming back, moved countries, kept going, finding AA, getting a home group, getting a sponsor, getting connections, phone numbers, and just staying in that community and finding that, you know, you belong. You belong if you decide you want to belong, you know, and you keep connected with everyone. And that has served me very well for many years now, and I'm going to keep coming back. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Fiona. And now, Suresh, could I ask you please to share?
Thank you. Thank you for your wonderful sharings, Vishal and Fiona. I'm glad that I'm part of this sharing today. So yeah, I'm Suresh, I'm an alcoholic. I think I'm a garden variety alcoholic, from what I hear from this rooms. See, I was born in a lower middle class family. I had two elder brothers. I always felt that during my young age, I always felt that I'm missing something. I couldn't fit into something, you know. But my childhood went really well, you know, in the sense I was very bright in my studies. I was able to finish my schooling and college with good numbers. But that feeling, you know, I don't belong to, you know, things, is still there. There was a gap in my life. I couldn't, you know, fit in with reality. That's where, you know, when I first picked up my first drink, somewhere when I was in higher secondary, the first drink actually, you know, it actually made me feel that gap is getting filled. I'm able to talk to people, you know, behave to people like the way I wanted to, probably dance, you know, make friends, crack jokes, just after drinking, you know, taking the alcohol. I really felt that, bloody, that's my real, you know, solution for all my problems. So somewhere, you know, I was, you know, able to finish my degree. You know, probably that's because today I feel like it's because I had a routine, I had a constructive routine in to do in life. But right after me finishing the degree, my graph went straight down. You know, there is no routine in life. I didn't want to go to work. I don't know, from my, you know, I didn't have a goal, motive, direction in life. So all I did was just find ways to drink. You know, I didn't become an alcoholic in a day or a week. Now I know that, you know, it took nearly some 3-4 years of heavy drinking. Down the line, when I was around some 26-25 years old, that's where, you know, I really felt that something is really wrong with me. I didn't know that it is, you know, all this alcoholic disease, all these things. I didn't know all these things because the place where I lived, they don't talk about, you know, all these things. I never had any AA, you know, come to my life till I was, you know, came to these rooms. So I thought something is fundamentally wrong with me. I just connected this with my child age problems. I felt like something is really a big gap in my life and something really wrong with me. And I never thought that alcohol is a problem. So yeah, so I just kept on drinking and you know, it led to my rock bottom. A lot of people try to save me out. My mom used to give me a lot of advice, right? Don't drink now, you know, drink only this. I really wanted to hear her, you know, in the last stages. I really wanted to heed to her. I keep telling her that, you know, yes, mom, I really want to do this. I really want to stop it. But somehow my legs, you know, just took me to the bottle shop the very next day in the morning. So yeah, so I didn't know. You know, all my friends who had arrears and who didn't clear their papers in the college were doing really well in life. But somewhere, you know, I'm sitting in a hut kind of place, with abandoned from the family, no money to live, nowhere to go. You know, then looking at them, bloody, what happened to me? Why me? You know, I really thought God was very, very, you know, very, very unfair to me. Because I thought I'm a very kind-hearted, very loving, you know, very intelligent guy. That was me, you know, thinking about myself when I was there. But nothing worked. Somehow my prayers had answered. At 27 years, I went to my first rehab, thinking that I'd get a place to live, thinking that I had a place to eat. That was me. I was nearly about some 30-odd kilos when I was 27 years, with full withdrawal symptoms and stuff. Had nothing to carry into the rehab. That was me. With no hope in life. But that is where, you know, God sent one AA member who delivered his message to me. The first time when he shared, I understood that. The first time I heard somebody relate to me, somebody sharing my story, somebody can talk in my language, I really felt so, you know, but you know, kind of, you know, I'm not alone. Somebody is there, you know, like me. And main thing is, end of the story, he said, you know, today I'm not drinking. It was last 2 years and I didn't drink. He said, whatever I went through, 2-3 steps below what I did, you know, whatever I did, he did that. But today, 2 years, he's not drinking. So that's the first time I felt hope in my life. If somebody can do this, why can't me? If he can do it, I can also do it. That was me coming into the rooms in 2003, first time into the rooms. But today I really understand what I did wrong there was, I heard his story and I heard his current state. I didn't hear what he did in between the 2 years. That 2 years he did a lot of things. That I didn't hear. I didn't want to hear that. I just want the color part. You know, I just want to fast forward and get into that step 12. I don't want to carry on with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I came out and I thought, you know, I'll lead recovery in my hands. I'll take it in my hands. And first thing, when people said, you know, come to meetings, things will be better, I really got angry with people. I said, you know, I need to go to work to earn money. You guys have money from your father, mother, somebody is giving you. You guys can manage things your own. I had to, you know, make things for myself. I need to go and work. I need to, you know, search where I lost it. I think I lost my career. I need to go and catch it. That was me when I came in first in 2003. I went behind finance, career, family, all these things. I didn't drink for 7 years just because, you know, I had a fear of alcohol. I don't want to go where I came from. But over a period of time, the gap in me really, really, really become bigger. The same Suresh once again came out, who, you know, couldn't fit into things, who didn't belong to things. And over a period of time, you know, in 2010, there was a small family issue. I went and picked up my drink again. That is where I really learned that, you know, that this disease is a progressive disease. It grows even when I don't drink. It just grows in me. And first drink always does the damage. And the minute I pick up my first drink, allergy fits in, and I just, you know, get into the loop. And step two in AA clearly says, somebody else has to step in to take me out of my insanity. I can't recover myself. I need some help to be done, to get the thing done. So yeah, so somewhere, you know, again in relapse, I was there drinking for 18 months. Again, same pain. I went to Square A once again, sitting before a bottle shop before the shop opens. And, you know, I couldn't get out myself, but I kept on praying to God. Somehow he answered my prayer once again. So today I really feel, you know, somehow my higher power thought that, you know, I deserve something. I deserve this. I really am really very grateful for that. And yeah, in 2012, February 13th, that was the day I really felt that, you know, bloody enough is enough. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Let me, you know, get into the brooms. So 2003, February 12th, I stepped back with one question in mind. Even everybody can do this, why can't me, you know? Why can't a genius like me can't do it? The simple thing is, I thought I'm a genius. I just have to be, you know, you guys made me understood that. I just have to listen, and take it forward. But it's been a wonderful 12 to 13 years now in recovery. Every year has been optic for me. You guys, the AA guys have really made my life, you know, a very quality one. I can tell this in any, you know, podium, that AA definitely works. How I'm saying is, it has worked for me. I know from where this Suresh has started his life. I know where he is today. I've traveled nearly about some 12,000 miles. And I have a beautiful family. I'm married for 15 years now. I have a wonderful child with me. And life is good. I get up in the morning and feel the awareness of God has created. That's the best thing to have. So yeah, thank you so much for having me here. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Suresh. That is all we have time for today. So thank you again to Vishal, Fiona and Suresh for joining us in the studio today. And thank you to all for listening. We are on air every Sunday morning at 10:45 a.m. on Planet FM 104.6. If you wish to speak to someone directly, please call 0800 AA Works, that's 0800 229 6757, or go to the AA website at aa.org.nz, where you can find a whole raft of information. Could we all close the meeting with the Serenity Prayer, please?
God, grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
A whole world of radio on planetaudio.org.nz.
Each week, around 3,000 units of blood are required to cover the needs of hospitals throughout New Zealand. Every drop counts. If you're over 16 and weigh more than 50 kilos, you can probably give blood. Go to nzblood.co.nz or call 0800-GIVE-BLOOD to book an appointment. You could save a life on your lunch break. Whether you call it Aotearoa, New Zealand, New Zealand or Nova Zelandia, it's worth knowing the history of the place most of us call home. Starting 100 million years ago and bringing us right through to modern day, the Aotearoa History Show explores some of the forces that have shaped this land and its people, from the geographical to the social and political. Produced by RNZ, the Aotearoa History Show airs here on 104.6 Planet FM every Monday at 2:35 p.m. And you can hear the full series anytime online by visiting the series and podcasts page at rnz.co.nz or using your favourite podcasting app.
Have you got something to say? At Planet FM, we empower communities and individuals with the tools to create their own radio shows and podcasts. We provide facilities, advice and training so you can connect, create and share. It's your voice, your vision. All the information you need can be found online at planetaudio.org.nz.
This is 104.6 Planet FM. Join AA Meeting on Air next Sunday morning at 10:45. And if you'd like to listen to this program again, go to our website,